is Faisal Pliqueta.
This is Joe Cole.
This is Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and you're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of London is Blue podcast. As always, host Brandon, joined by two jokers, Nick and Dan, who occasionally say something smart, but we've literally spent about 20 minutes bullshitting, mainly because, Nick, I almost couldn't be bothered to do this podcast, except we're actually legally obligated to by Blue Wire.
Like our friend, Marshawn Lynch, I'm here so I don't get fined. And
we.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dan likes getting fined personally, but I am all about that paper, as they say. And I've already lost the thread here. Let's just kick it.
Make that paper.
There it is, Dan. Well done. Way to follow through on that thread.
All right.
Someone
so,
had to take care of it for you.
Dan dropping bombs in here with the Sheffield United match review at the top of the script. But wait.
Nailed it.
It's a trap.
Nailed it. Kobe.
This is how hard we've worked on this one, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Barnsley match review. FA Cup, all right, fourth round action here. We're away at the Barnstormers, which if you're from Iowa, you get that reference.
Ugh.
But the rest of you won't. So we're going to be talking about this. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is going to be loose. It's going to be tight. You all watched the same match we did.
Loose and tight. Our classic. That's our middle ground right there. That's our sweet spot.
In topics, tight in
time. It's going to be hot. It's going to be cold.
Hot ice, rookie of the year.
It's
going to
be soft. It's going to be hard.
All right. Well, one too many from Dan there. So
he's talking about pretzels, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, pretzels.
Yep. It's about the only thing. So anyways, we're going to try to touch on a couple of things we learned or maybe some questions that were answered in this one. Good luck with that one, script writer. We're going to talk about the continued impact of the Cobham Crew, which is licensed and patented, so don't take it. And then we discuss how the Chelsea women once again confirmed that London is blue, because anytime you beat Arsenal, it is worth discussing. So, Dan, let's kick this one off with your three WMRs, which I'm starting to see there's a few other people trying to toss their hat in this ring, Dan.
Boy. I think a lot of thievery happening out there in the world.
What do they say?
Well, like imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
That's what I was trying to say.
I appreciate everyone, you know, just representing. That's a wonderful idea. But we had some great three-word match reviews. Much better than some of the performances on the pitch today. Gabriel, with respect to Barnsley, you know, I think they definitely pressed. They came prepared. Was with the no holds VARD. There's a pun there. VAR. SD Chels with he was onside. Talking about Tammy's goal. Spottingham, our good friend Mr. Spottingham, with R. Callum's better. Like that one too. Kevin with, apparently this was a direct quote from the ESPN broadcaster. I cannot confirm or deny that, but it was Martin Atkinson blows.
The whistle? Or was that it?
It's probably Martin Atkinson blows the whistle, but you know, you drop off the last couple of words there. It gets you through a match review. Chris with the Tammy Tuchel's response. Tammy Tuchel rescue, like Tammy to the rescue. It was one.
You included
Tana
it.
With stressed when pressed, and Chris with the best one overall, Cobham Crew and through. He's the ampersand.
I like stressed when pressed the best, personally.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. 3.5 is a little tough for me. Yeah, Tana's been making some appearances regularly. Either she's bribed Dan, or more aptly, she's come up with some really good ones.
She's on a run.
Spotting him, I'm wondering how many cocktails deep you were for our columns better, in case you were confused at who is who. But a good run here. Quick, stall, look the other way. Nick, what did you have for your three-word match review?
In the mud. Both physically in the mud with just a god-awful pitch that is the magic of the FA Cup, and then also the performance.
All right. Dan Dormer?
Ticket timidly punched. We're through the next round, but it wasn't convincing.
Take it to the big dance? March Madness already?
Well, I guess you could kind of go with that. I mean, I always think ticket to the next round is always what I think about.
All right. We played today, question mark. I was busy at work, and also, did we though? I mean, physically, did we play a match today? Because it kind of seemed like we didn't really show up. Lots to not talk about in this one. But before we get into it all, before you all get mad at me for this really long gratitudes and housekeeping section, I have an explanation. There's this guy out there on Twitter, likes to write, but it's been a while, has a decent following, known as Joe Tweeds, or if you're on the podcast, Mr. Joe Tweeds with me, because we're formal like that. Mm-hmm. He approached us and said, hey guys, I want to write a little bit. I want to start a weekly newsletter. What do you think? Dan, being the wordsmith you are, what did we think?
Well, I said, yes, absolutely. And then Joe Tweeds came back with about 500,000 words within 1 week for the wonderful people to read. And look, it's the King's Road newsletter, which is kind of the companion piece that's coming out weekly now on our Patreon page for everyone who's at the $5 tier. And, you know, that's just to allow us to make sure that Joe gets compensated appropriately for his time investment as well.
But we didn't tell Joe that. You ruined it.
We would have got away with it, too, if not for that rascal Dan.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. But anyway, yeah, it's a wonderful newsletter. The first episode zero, I guess, as we call it, is up now. It's the companion to the monthly show that he's going to be doing with us as well, which is The King's Road, which is the audio version of that, Nick. But yeah, a lot of people very excited. The first one was excellent, and the people should be looking forward to that every week.
Oh yeah, so yeah, Joe's becoming a more integrated part of the fam here. I think that's to everyone's joy, and we're really excited about this. I mean, we used to have a blog way back in the day for those OGs of the podcast.
Shout out to Nav.
That dude ran our blog for as long as we could do it, and then just it wasn't our bag. And then, you know, now we have this Patreon thing, and we're like, how do we make better use of this? And Joe is one of the best uses of it. Go, if only for a month, go test this out, because his first newsletter is awesome. And for those who followed him way back in the day, he used to do the Plains of Almeria article blog or whatever it was called. And it was, you know, that was kind of where he got his start. So I think this is cathartic for him. It's great for us. And we hope you sign up.
And it's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So Joe Tweeds, who a lot of people know, really excited to hear that. And he's excited to be writing again. It's been a while for him. So he's really excited to shake off the old pen and dip it in the ink and blot it out. He's very old school. He's in, you know, Switzerland. They don't have a lot of technology.
Like a quill?
They're JPEGs. He writes it all by hand, and then we post it as JPEGs. It's really great.
So anyways, check it out. But in case you want to know who has already beaten you in line to this, Richard, Kurt, Matt, Nini FC, which is a good shout out for Nini. Haven't talked to you in a while, sir. Rory, Pat, Robert W, Hannah, Canyon, John, Matt, Kate, Mr. Tweeds himself, Inside Joke, you'll have to ask him, Arjun, Ashley G, Brad P, Kyle W, Jeremy G, M.A. Grigg, and Jordan Wells. And a lot of people went from the 3 to 5 to update. And then also, we've now realized, because we are Patreon pros, you can sign up annually and save 10%. And a lot of the people that we just read off did that as well. So there's really no better time to get involved with our Patreon and our Discord and now content from Joe Tweeds than now. So if you have questions, hit us up on social media. Otherwise, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
So Dan, your turn. Try to top that with an Apple 5-star review.
Oh, don't worry, Brandon. I got this covered. So thank you to Yellow Monster, Dr. K-Bro, Jay Astoya in L.A., Jorrit Meyer, who's a member of the Dutch Blues in the Netherlands. So that's just to shout him out. Aang 32. And then the wonderful Fleck McQuaid from France, who left a...
Fleck McQuaid, first of all.
Super French.
Fleck McQuaid, incredible name.
McQuad, but he left a Ode to London is Blue, special guest interviews, three-word match reviews, alliteration, Arsenal annihilation, tactical insight, will Chelsea win tonight, London is Blue, here's my 5-star review. That was wonderful. That's well really, really enjoyed that one.
Well Fleck McQuaid, you are the man. We appreciate you.
Leave more reviews like that, and we'll actually read them out. We'll give you the shout-out, but... You know, really well written ones get the full treatment.
Better than kissing up to Nick's ass or telling me that I'm mean to Dan. Like, I can't be bothered with that stuff. Let's get to the good stuff, people. Be like Fleck. All right, Nick. Actually, Dan had a really good one there, so good luck with the housekeeping. I mean, what else is there?
Well, as you guys will know, there is no match this weekend. We play Monday against Newcastle. Just your classic Monday in the middle of February. Don't worry about it. It's all good. So we'll be out on Tuesday morning this week with a pod. And then we did receive word from our merch folks last week that we should have a store set up by the end of the month? Question mark. Fingers crossed. Our designs are done. It's just now standing up the experience and getting everything ready. So a little bit more logistics, but we're finally getting close.
All right. Well, it's going to be exciting. Let's go ahead and hit our ad break. And when we're back, it's going to be all about Barcelona. Just kidding, Barnsley. Credit to Bruce. I'm going to tell my kids this is Chelsea Barcelona, but hey, not today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. All right, Dan, here we go. It was the Barnsley match of the FA Cup this past Thursday, yada, yada. It was at Oakwell. Barnsley nil, Chelsea won. Tammy with the goal. Look, the Fifth Stand app doesn't do goal reviews on the FA Cup. So let's see if Jake can go find highlights. If not, we'll jump into the lineup. Here we go.
You know, guys, I'm just going to keep it real. I don't think it's the same without Cundy. So I'm just going to let you guys remember that Tammy moment in the back of your head. Because I don't think any of us want to listen to those commentators for another 5-10 minutes after that game. At least that's my consensus from everybody in the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. I know we were all having a little rough time listening to some of those commentary moments. So let's keep it pushing.
Dan, give me the lineup. What in the world was Tommy Tuchel doing?
Well, he was definitely trying to see if he could play as many players as possible in an odd formation. Kepa Blaga between the sticks, Andreas Christensen as right center back, Kurt Zuma in the central role, Emerson as a left center back, with Marcus Alonso, Billy Gilmore, N'Golo Kante, and Callum Hudson-Odoi as the four in the middle. That fluctuated a bit. And then Christian Pulisic, Tammy Abraham, and Hakim Ziyech were the starting attackers. We did not see substitutes used. The following: Willy Caballero, Olivier Giroud, Ben Chilwell, Cesar Azpilicueta, and Lewis Bate, unfortunately. A lot of articles being written by him beforehand. There were some fingers crossed that he might get an appearance and a cameo. That did not happen, unfortunately, due to the lack of goals. We did, however, see appearances from Antonio Rudiger, Mateo Kovacic, Reece James, and Tino Andrin. Was Tino time today? So, yeah, a little bit of positive there.
So we've confirmed that Tuchel completely has written off all the youth. Got it. Anyways, some of the top line stats. I don't know where to go with this, Nick.
This is a bad read right here. I'm not going to lie.
Where do I start? Let's see. Chelsea, we won. Just remember that before I get into this. We won. Total shot 6 for Chelsea, 1 on target. Barnsley, 14 shots, 4 on target. 73% possession to Chelsea, 27% for Barnsley. We had 732 passes. They had 263. We had 83% pass accuracy. They had 57%. We each had 7 fouls. We each didn't have any cautions or any sending offs. We each had 2 offsides, and they had 7 corners to our 2. And our 2, anyways. What's an X goal? Who cares? Dan, I love this in the script. Like you're an eternal optimist, even beyond me today. You go, okay, so there's a lot of bad in this match. Mm-hmm. Got it. Let's just get that out of the way. Just sweep it to the side, all 85 minutes of it. So what's one lesson or question you felt was answered during this match? Well, Dan, I'd love to hear from you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the pitch could have been worse. I learned pitches can get worse. This is an example of a pitch.
What did announcer say? This is no Stamford Bridge. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
And Brandon is just an angry fired man up today.
I mean, come on. I mean, like, earn your wages. I'm saying.
Here's Hakim Ziyech is having a hard time integrating, would be the thing that I am learning in just the way that he was dispossessed in this match. I mean, ball retention was a big challenge in this entire match. And actually, I think from a way that we set it up, it probably did not suit. The players who were out there were trying to play a little too cute. And that our type of tight passing game did not work well on this type of pitch. And we probably should have tried more long balls, tried more over the top, done more to get the ball ahead and allow people to run onto it. And that just didn't happen. And so it was difficult. And so players like Ziyech, like Christian, who are trying to play a little more tight-knit, did not have a good day out. And I think that bore out as you saw them, subbed off of the pitch here and when we kind of needed to make some changes.
Yeah, I struggle with this match for so many reasons, but if I'm looking at like a question that I felt was answered, I really don't know. I really don't. There was no rhythm. There was no flow. The pitch was bad, yes, but I mean, okay, here's my one. Here, I found it out of thin air. When pressed, Chelsea struggle. And that's been confirmed time and time and time again. Barnsley, a team that we beat 6-0 earlier this season, by the by, had no issue pressing us for 90 minutes today. None. And it tells you, one, that they smell blood in the water and wanted to capitalize on mistakes. And two, that after watching Chelsea pummel Wolves and pummel Burnley by having all the ball and no pressure on the ball, they knew that they couldn't just sit back and absorb all that pressure. So they had to push out. And Chelsea responded by freaking out every time they had the ball and giving it away a lot. And there was no rhythm or anything. It was bad. And I tweeted this, Brandon, earlier. I would expect every single team that we play the rest of the year to do the exact same thing. I think that is the blueprint right now to beat Chelsea, because the passing is not sharp enough and we are clearly not a threat at goal. Like, we've scored very few goals under Tuchel, and we've been lucky that we've won and kept clean sheets for most of them, but it's not been stunning from an offensive perspective.
Well, I'd just like to rewind to the beginning when you said, I don't know, and you literally punted on second down.
Thank you.
Football reference from Brandon.
Dan's question had me all flustered, but I finally figured it out.
So I think to play off your question a little bit, I think Chelsea, knowing that they were such lower opposition, where Tuchel was like, no, play out. Like, we need, this is good training. Like, this is good practice. They are probably not going to have the end product that a Premier League team would. This is probably as safe of an exhibition or practice match as you're going to get to try to play out of the back. I would like to think if a Liverpool or a City press us that hard, we would look to skip lines. We would look to, you know, break to the top of the pitch a little bit more than what we did. Again, that's what I would like to think. We've seen Maurizio Sarri say, absolutely not. Don't ever break. Play from the back, and that's it. We'll have to see. Antonio Conte is a nice little hybrid. We usually take goal kicks out to Marcos Alonso every single time because he's usually taller than the winger, could win the header, yada, yada. Set yourself up for success. So, that's kind of like my hope to your kind of answer, Nick, or to the question that you posed. But for me, I think the biggest thing is I looked at that lineup and I was like, wow, we're deep. Like, this is a great second 11. You know, I know a couple players play, you know, but it's essentially 10 new players, 9 maybe, without Christensen, Alonso. And I was like, this is going to be great. We're going to go out, roll Barnsley with our, you know, I'm not going to say B team, but a second group of players, and it'll be great. And I unfortunately think Dan kind of nailed it from the beginning when Nick, right on time, about 13th minute every match, you send us your doomsday assessment of how bad it's going. Today, absolutely nailed it. Other days, not so much. And Dan just said, "This, you can't get away with 10 changes. This team has no rhythm. They have no flow. They have no connection. They look like they've never played with each other because... surprise, they never have." And it was hard to watch. And I think that played into Barnsley's hand a lot of being able to press us, knowing that N'Golo Kante is not really going to turn out a pressure like maybe a Kovacic can. Billy Gilmore is just getting minutes. He had no time and space on the ball, and they harried him a little bit. And so it was a disappointment for me to not just have a second lineup go out there and roll him. And I think that's what I kind of walked away with a little depressed about.
Yeah, it was definitely a letdown type of game. And when you only get one shot on target and six shots in total across 90 minutes, you know, you would expect that the alternate was true, right? That like we had the 14 shots and we had the four shots on target and Barnsley got the random one. And you could argue that their actual shots on target, the Tammy header save and the Kepa, oh my gosh, I'm here, and stopping the ball in the first half, were better shots on target than our one was. So I just, in general, this was a discombobulated side. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen Emerson and Alonso in this type of setup before, supporting each other on the left-hand side. There was nothing happening on the left-hand side for the vast majority of this match. And then, you know, Andreas Christensen, a little bit of a surprise, like, you know, I think seeing him on the right-hand side, Zuma centrally, neither of them looked as comfortable as, you know, you think they would. And so that just seemed odd in terms of a placement standpoint. I think this match probably answered the question of like, you don't play Kurt Zuma centrally in a back three. You don't play Andreas Christensen on the right hand side. Neither of that pairing looked good, Nick. And I think ultimately that just, it feels like a lot of these selections were maybe more trying to get people a little bit of rest, trying to figure out what they can offer heading into this latter half of the season. And maybe trying to spell a couple players like Mason, who got to watch the match from home, and, you know, Chilwell, Azpilicueta getting a rest. I mean, it seems like maybe we're just trying to do the bare minimum to get the result.
Yeah. I really don't. I don't have a whole lot of answers. I mean, it's we talked to Joe about this. It had to be back early in the fall about how Lampard even switched up the configuration of the center backs a lot, right? There were some days where Zuma would play on the right and Silva would play on the left, or vice versa, or Christensen would, you know, primarily be on the right, and maybe Rudiger would switch around. And it was odd today to have Christensen in there and not playing the sweeper role. I don't know why that happened. It is odd, and even more odd would be to have Emerson playing left center back, which clearly did not work to any good effect, because him and Alonso were way off. I didn't get this at all. It feels like he was force fitting players into a three back just because that's what we had done. But clearly, when he switched the formation to a four back, everything looked a little bit better, a little bit more cohesive. Not great, but something, you know. And I think that's where my head is just a little confused right now with this. Is like, I know it's a first world problem, right? You're complaining after a win and you advance in the FA Cup, and that's all great. But it's been an interesting couple of matches to watch, and I'm just trying to kind of sort through it in my head.
Lots of time to continue to drive forward and see where this progresses, but. You know, maybe this was a test for Tuchel to really throw a lot of changes in there and see how it happens, see how the team reacts to it. And hey, he got an answer. He got a resounding answer on this one. And so we just kind of have to take it for what it is. Again, we don't really know what the outcomes of this are going to be until we, you know, get a few more matches in and kind of see how as more, you know, opportunities Tuchel gets to see some of these players. You know, he'll get to make some different decisions. Because was this Emerson's first time playing for Tuchel?
Mm-hmm.
It was Zuma's first time?
And playing as a three-back, as a left center back. It's odd things. And, you know, I mean, Tuchel after the match even said that, like, he was relieved that we can stop the analysis. We're through the quarterfinal, full stop, was the exact quote. And so I think he seemed as relieved as all of Chelsea supporters were that we got our luck and we were able to advance through. You know, he talked about the circumstances not being easy, and coming through was the most important thing. So yes, but that is correct. Going through was the most important thing. We did that. It wasn't a great match. On to the next one.
Good save from Kepa, by the way. But yeah, he hadn't really played. Zuma, Gilmore, Conte, Ziyech, really all kind of debutants under Tuchel. And it was just all a bit weird. So anyways, we don't have to continue to rack our brains for some profound thing. I think we just kind of take this as it is and say, you know, Chelsea went in, did the bare minimum, got 3 points, got out, but it was not pretty. And it did not give us a lot of confidence in some players. But again, just like we all wanted to give Frank time, we should give some Tuchel some time to take this. And the goal is that he learns from it, moves on. That's all we ever want. So more to come on that. The next point we can talk about is that the fact that the Cobham crew, patented, licensed, and restricted, copywritten, made the difference tonight. So Callum, Tammy, Billy, was Mason at home watching this game? I feel like he was live tweeting.
Reese.
Yeah, man.
Reese with the assist. Come on.
He was putting that stuff on IG, you know?
Tweeting a bunch. So he's having a relaxing evening out. Reese with the assist. So, Nick, there you go. Pick one of your options. We got three boys you started. We can each kind of dally on one.
Yeah, I think I'll start with Reese. I mean, obviously, I think has struggled in a couple of games under Tuchel, not played his best anyway. And, you know, he comes in after halftime, formation switches up to a back four, looks a hell of a lot more confident, looks great on the ball, gets upfield after a great pass from Billy, and puts in a really good ball that's an assist. And of course, there was a lot of hubbub about whether Tammy was onside at the time and the camera angle that we got. And, you know, Massey Ellis, who is one of the best linesmen or women, lineswoman, whatever it
line
is.
Line officials.
Whatever the title is.
Assistant referee.
She is clearly one of the best referees in the Premier League and now in the FA Cup. And I tweeted this as well, that every time I second guess her, she ends up being right. So I'm done doing that. And look, Reese just, he really solidified that right hand side after a tough go of it. I mean, Christensen clearly did not have a great time of it on the right today. And I think it looked a hell of a lot different. So I'll give big props to Reese, and let's hope he continues down that road, Dan.
Yeah, and, you know, Tuchel called out the, you know, particularly for like Tammy's goal, which was, you know, well taken, arriving at the right place at the right time. You know, Tuchel called out the fact that, like, yes, Tammy made the goal, but you can't leave out Billy's pass. You can't leave out the run from Reese. It was very much a team goal, a combination effort. But to kind of pivot maybe to Tammy, great effort in this match, denied a pretty obvious penalty on review, but, you know, being Barnsley and not having the setup for VAR, we were not able to take advantage of it, so that's unfortunate. You know, maybe could have had a shout for a second one. Like, he was getting mauled. Like, he was really being taken to task and, you know, being asked to fight for everything he was getting, and, you know, did a really great job. I mean, but, you know, he's played against some of these more aggressive sides in his time on loan in the Championship, but, you know, I think he's kind of used to this. I think he actually relishes the opportunity and came up with a great goal. And then a wonderful Drogba-esque heading save in the back half of the match that Kepa was never getting to. You needed the height that Tammy provided, and his ability to just knock it right over the top. It was great. It was really great to watch.
I was ready to give Kepa man of the match until that unbelievably weak punch attempt at the end there. but then that happened. That was a clutch. That's a clutch play. I mean, yeah. It really is. Like, where we've lacked that sometimes, Brandon, that to me signified someone whose head is in the game all the way, then, you know, kind of in the latter stages. And we've seen this team kind of crumble in those stages this year. So it was great to see Tammy come up with a clutch play there.
Tammy. He had to lead the line. It was a tough day out for him. But what you see with the Cobham crew consistently is their willingness to run. You know, they'll track back. They'll do whatever's needed. It's just that little bit extra I think, do you get from a youth player? Probably at any club, right? Because they're just so tied to the club. And, you know, if you tell Tammy to go play left back, he's going to look at you like you're crazy, but he's going to go give it his best shot. You know, he'll sacrifice for the team. He'll look to set up players. I think we see that, again, with almost all academy players throughout the world, which is why fans are very passionate and supportive when these players get through, because they do the extra work for the club. They're not seen as mercenaries. Callum back out there again today, you know, got some minutes in again today, trying to be active. I don't know, guys, I'm just kind of struggling breaking anyone down like in isolation just because it's so disjointed as a team. But I guess at least you can go back and look and say they tried hard, they ran hard, they put their passion on their sleeve type of a day out. But, you know, it was, you know, playing a championship team in these kind of conditions with all those internationals, I always kind of default back to like, what the hell went wrong? Like the standard wasn't there around everybody, but
hey, we couldn't complete a pass.
N'Golo Kanté, out of pressure, I remember in the first half, just turned to his left and passed it behind Christensen, and Christensen turned to see who was there. It just literally went right out of bounds. You're like, oh, Captain Kanté, well, shit.
It's not just him. I mean, someone made the comment to me on Twitter that, like, Billy, for example, not playing that well. And yeah, I don't think he did play that well, but usually under pressure, he's one of our better midfielders. He's able to distribute really quickly and sense pressure. He got caught a bunch of times today. And, you know, Callum struggled to pass the ball, you know, if we're honest. Marcus Alonso did not have a good day out on the left. I mean, this was a total team. It's a total team win and it's a total team loss. But, the team did not pass to each other at all. And I think they got flustered, to be honest. And, like, they're going to have to get used to it because any team with legs is going to press us. You know, Burnley doesn't have the legs. Wolves don't have the legs. But a lot of these teams that are out there that we still have yet to face, I would bet a decent sum that even Newcastle will come out and press us for a while on Monday.
Oh yeah.
They're starting to see a little bit form. But yeah, I think we're just going to kind of wrap this one a little bit. I think just as a team, they're all going back and being like, well, let's forget this ever happened.
Yeah, wipe that off the game plan board and let's drop a new one. I mean, the only interesting part of this is the four back, right? It's the first time we've seen a four back under Tuchel, and it looked semi better than the three back did, but only just. I mean, it was low not bar. Special.
Low bar. So, Dan, let's go ahead and hit the old patented, copyrighted Dan of the match. Versus Barnsley. I need the people to know, all right? I feel attacked, Dan. People are taking our great ideas and throwing them out there. I want them to know.
If they take the day in the match, I think that one might be a little bit more obvious. But anyway, it leads off with Pat. I'd like to buy a vowel.
Chelsea,
because the four
try.
Options are te, and then and then and then Amy. Someone pointed out because it's yeah, Tammy Abraham was the only option. So he wins 100% of the vote. The Ami won with 41%, I guess. So congratulations,
I'm surprised.
Amy.
That was me. I went on the option D. That was great.
Is that the way you expected, Dan? Is that what you're hoping for?
I was just hoping for people to enjoy it in an otherwise joyless match. So and the people seem to. So win all around.
I appreciate it. And I think it'll be really obvious if someone rips that one off too. So Duncan Alexander here, huh? Says there have been 6 more Chelsea FA Cup quarterfinal appearances this century than there have been Fast and Furious films, which really puts it into perspective. I love a good Fast and Furious reference. I mean, how many is that?
It's 15.
It's all about family. You know,
Fast and Furious 9, F9,
it's
the Fast and Furious saga. All right, that came out in.
You got a 10-second car.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Nick's impersonation is terrible.
Yeah. This supposed to be.
Yeah, it is.
It's all falling apart. So I think, Dan, you said the number is 15, correct? Where we're at, 15 quarterfinal appearances since 2000. Got it.
Yeah.
Which is exciting because our opponents are going to be Sheffield United.
Really got bailed out here. Really got bailed out. You have to say.
Kaz Carney helping us out there with a wonderful draw from the pot.
Cold balls. You can kind of figure out what's going on in there. There's some tougher draws, I think, is Nick's point. Everton, Man City, Leicester City versus United, Bournemouth, Southampton. Would love to play the winners of that one. Chelsea, Sheffield United. I mean, Bournemouth are probably the only team worse off than Sheffield United. And if, depending on where Sheffield United at, they might go all in on the cup because they are completely going down, or they might have seen some light by the time we get to the quarterfinals, and they might be like, no, we got to bail on this one. Like, we got to fight for the league. So who knows? Either way, on paper, very favorable draw. Dan, some of the other results, though, throughout the fifth round that happened before us, a couple exciting ones here.
Well, we got to see Mark Gerhey with a wonderful spin tackle WWE move on Raheem Sterling, even though they lost to Man City. Those three goals they scored did not come super early in the match. So the fight in Swansea's did a good job of holding them off.
Swans, the fight in Swans. Come on.
Did a good job of holding them off for a decent period of time. And West Ham, very, very late into the match there. The fact that Everton and Tottenham had to go to extra time in a 5-4 thriller.
Brilliant.
That is fantastic for us from like a Premier League situation, because it means more minutes on the legs, likelihood of them maybe dropping some points heading into this weekend. That would be really, really nice. So, a couple of good spots here.
Couple of things call out from these matches. One, Carlo Ancelotti is the coolest motherfucker on the planet. That guy is ice in his veins. Score the winner in extra time. Tea's a little too hot. Let me just cool this off. Not worried about it. Meanwhile, old Dunk is running up and down like a maniac.
Half naked.
Took his shirt off and is waving it above. No, that match was thrilling. That was a really fun one. And the fact that Spurs lost, just
suck it, Spurs.
Chef's kiss. I will mention, Chelsea have the possibility, after you think of our murderer's row that we went through last year, basically having played every major team in the tournament besides Man City, who got knocked out by Arsenal.
It was like Liverpool, Spurs, United.
Leicester and United. Yep. And Arsenal, and then we obviously lost Arsenal in the final. But like that, we played every like major team that we could have except for City. This year is the exact opposite. We might only have to play City. Like, and that would be shocking. Like, frankly, Chelsea playing Sheffield, blessing, because now Leicester and United have to tear each other apart. It's going to be hilarious. And boy, wouldn't it be a treat if there was a Manchester derby in the semifinal.
I am there for that. So anyways, that's kind of how it looks and where we're headed. But going to wrap on the men there and just get over to the exciting part of the podcast.
Thank God.
Chelsea,
best Chelsea
women.
Football last week.
I mean, how not to, right? So recap, right? They're coming off a loss.
Shocking loss.
Surprise loss, right? We'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So next up on the docket, though, they have to take on Arsenal women. So it's not like they're just, getting bottom of the table team. They have to jump into Arsenal right away after the Brighton Hove 2-1 loss. And Nick, I think we got what the kids say. We got a response.
Yeah, if you were wondering heading into this match whether Emma Hayes would be up for this one, the answer was yes, and it was a 3-0 win over Arsenal at home. Arsenal, who, by the way, are far down in the table at this point because of Chelsea's dominance. Chelsea just went out and
smacked them.
Yeah, dominated them. I mean, it was not really that close. Harder with two goals. Kirby with the third classy finish on the left foot. I mean, this not only was needed, but so sweet, because Arsenal and Chelsea have done some battles over the years, and it looks like Chelsea's on the ascendancy.
Yeah, it was comprehensive. I think if you were going to sum it up in one word, because the three-word match review has been stolen and bogarted commandeered by others. Look, it was great. It was a great match to watch. Pernille Harder is probably on the rise to being maybe the player of the season in the WSL, would be my guess. Frank Kirby also in the running as well.
Edge Kirby right now.
Yeah, Leopold's didn't have a great game. This was probably a little less of a great performance from her. Got carded early in the match and never really kind of recovered from that point. But just in general, like this was a response. We didn't have the majority of possession. We actually overshot our expected goals. You know, we had three off of a 1.0. Arsenal had zero on a 0.65. So that's also a good thing to see. But Harder just had some fantastic work in this game. And Arsenal swarmed. Arsenal were all over. They were pressing the entire time. Maybe got lost a little bit in kind of just their concentration later in the match. Berger being back between the sticks was a really nice thing to see as well, Brandon. Just, you know, so much extra kind of composure and confidence there, stopping a couple of really clutch shots from Arsenal too, to make sure that there was no issue in the back. Just, you know, London is blue. That's all it is.
Well, you talk about how maybe it wasn't so straightforward, this one. I love a good stats read, so hear me out here. Chelsea with eight shots, five on target. Arsenal, eight with three on target. Chelsea, 34% possession at home. Passes, Chelsea, 291. Arsenal, 545. Pass accuracy, Arsenal, 80%. Chelsea, 64%. Fouls, Chelsea 15, Arsenal 5. Two cautions for Chelsea, one to Arsenal. No sending offs, one offsides apiece, five corners to Chelsea, zero to Arsenal. That's such a weird stats line to hear, especially from this team. Won 3-0. We fouled the shit out of them, had terrible pass accuracy, and only 34% of the ball. But if you look back at the highlights, the counterattacking ability, it went from 18 to half in one pass, and there's a flick or a run on from there. I mean, they sat in, absorbed the pressure from Arsenal, and then they were gone. Like, Kerr in, smashed the crossbar. We saw multiple times, you know, us getting to end line, cutting back for Pernille's goals, and then obviously Kirby with the dagger at the end.
You cannot play Chelsea like Arsenal tried to play Chelsea. It's so dumb. It's so dumb because Chelsea not only have the speed to take you out on the counterattack, they have lethal finishers. I mean, you have Harder and Kerr just alone, and not to mention Frank Kirby, who is my player of the season so far. Like, I think it's you're much more likely, if you're in the WSL, please listen to this, you're much more likely to give Chelsea a hard time if you're playing like Brighton did, which essentially put 11 people in a block right in front of the goal and make Chelsea shoot at you, than you are the other way around. I mean, that's a silly way to play. I was going to use another phrase for this, but I will not, just given all the mental health stuff going on. It's a silly way to play. So while Arsenal's stats look great, that was a Wenger-esque performance. # specialist in failure.
Yeah. So again, I just like how we perk up and get all excited to talk about this one after that.
Should have led with this, to be honest. Horrifying. We should have led with this.
Hey, you save the best for last, right? Never mind. We usually put the Dan of the match last, so
can't give him credit. Don't do it.
I'm gonna get yelled at again for being mean to Dan.
Although sure we'll see Chelsea FC and USA with their Dan of the match poll next week. It'll be great.
He's naming names. All right. Well, hey, look, we're going to wrap this one up again. I'm not going to say it. Anyways.
Top of the table. We're 3 points ahead of Man United. Like, that's the
with a goal differential above like 1,000.
15.
Yeah. Plus 34 goal diff.
United 19. So running away with it. They just got to keep it up. It's good to get a response, obviously, for the women. The men, they sorted out. You got your free hit. You're not going to get another free hit in the cup. That was it. So, you got to turn up or shut up next time. So anyways, everyone out there, thank you again for the support. We got so many kind messages, which had nothing to do with us, but it was about partnering with Joe and distributing his newsletter. So again, we're just continuing to try to offer the best content to the best community out there. So if you have ideas, let us know. But we're going to continue to kind of push forward and do some exciting things this year. So again, if you have any questions or need engage, you know where to find us on social media.
Can I do a small little teaser?
Yeah.
If you do join the old Patreon community, or if you're already in there and you're listening to this,
we promise Nick won't talk to you.
Well, 100%. But perhaps in the next, let's just call it the next 5 days, we'll be posting our merch designs for those to look at. And
Nick, what
and
happens if you don't deliver in the next 5 days?
Okay, I'll continue to get yelled at. You know,
Put something on it. No Bluebeard bet. You got to do something.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing Bluebeard.
You're home. Who cares?
Well, I'm going to fucking post it tomorrow then. Boom. Done.
All right. So anyways, sneak peek. Help deciding what is going to get launched in our store, only for Patreon, all levels, going to be going into the Discord. We're going to be using the poll widget that Big Nash helped us set up, so we can get votes in as well. So anyways, this is out of control. Bruce, clip this and post it on social media.
Little dance,
anyways,
baby.
That's going to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, for listening. Listeners, you're the best part about this. Again, take the weekend off. Enjoy yourselves. All right. Newcastle on Monday. That means block your time off in the middle of the day for another midday match, which, oh, they're my favorite.
Killing me, guys. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's going to wrap us up. So, as always, Chelsea fans, thank you for listening. And until next time, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.